أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. Say, I seek refuge with the Rabb of daybreak, the Rabb of dawn, and the evil and the mischief of all the creation, and the mischief of darkness when it covers and spreads over, and the mischief of those who blow into knots, practicing secret arts and magic, and the evil of the one that is jealous when he practices envy. These are the last two surahs of the Quran Sharif, and the Quran Sharif commences with the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the gist of the surah Fatiha is to ask Allah ta'ala's assistance and guidance. Throughout our lives, we need His assistance at every second, every moment. And we are definitely desperate of His guidance. And we end up the Quran Sharif seeking refuge and protection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That without His protection, then we are total loss, we are total losers, we are failures. Allama Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi says that mankind is in need of these two surahs more than everything else in his life, even more than his clothing, his food, his shelter, his business, more than everything else, and he requires the protection of these two surahs. Because misfortunes and problems are of two types. One is the misfortune and the disaster itself. And the second is the avenues that would lead you to disaster and destruction and ruin. And man needs to guard himself against the both. These surahs were revealed when some Jewish person, Labid ibn al-Asim, had practiced some type of magic and secret arts against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed through Jibreel alayhi salam that this is what has happened. Labid ibn al-Asim has practiced some type of secret arts and magic against you. Therefore, you are going through this difficulty, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would feel to himself that I have accomplished this, whereas he has not accomplished. Things that are related to material, worldly things, like would feel I've eaten and he has not yet eaten. So this was the uneasiness that was caused through the magic and the secret arts that was practiced against him. Then the angel, the malaika, explained to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where this was planted and in what was it planted. It was through a comb, and the strands of hair that remain in a comb, or the threads that remain around there. So this is how the magic was practiced. The particulars of all this was also shown that it is in Bi'r al-Dharwan. Go to this place and you will find it right at the bottom of that well. So this was pulled out and this magic was practiced, and it was enclosed into the sheath of a date palm. So it was opened, same things as the malaika had explained were found. The comb was found, those strands of hair and some thread wherein 11 knots were made and needles were pierced in every knot. And Nabi Sam recited the surahs as he recited every verse. Then the knots opened and he became absolutely normal and cleared of all the effects of that secret art. Some sahaba had suggested to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, why don't you revenge for this? See what this has done, this person has done to you. Why don't you expose the person?" So Nabi Sallam says, "Amma Allah faqad shafani. Allah Ta'ala has cured me. And wala uhibbu an uthira ala nasi sharran. And I'm not a person to incite and to stir up trouble. I will expose the person. One person will get to know about it. And then the second person and the third person. And then someone will try and hurt the person that has done this. In this manner, he'll come to his defense and he'll refuse. This person will want to attack him. And there's going to be a widespread mischief that's going to be spread out. So I don't want to become the person that is the cause of a widespread mischief. I do not want to stir up trouble." Nonetheless, Rasulullah showed through his ways that he wasn't a person that will avenge for his personal self any harm and any difficulty that he had experienced. Then he will not avenge and revenge for that. The first surah, "Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq," refers to the protection that one needs to have in material things, physical things, visible things. We require the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this as well. So, Rabbil Falaq, the Rabb of daybreak, the Rabb of the dawn. Night normally symbolizes all types of problems, difficulties, darknesses. That is why the ones that practice magic and secret arts, they normally do so at night when it's still, and they can practice their arts very, very easily without any type of interruption and any type of difficulty. Similarly, the robbers, rogues, thieves, they find it easier to practice their robbery, their looting and robbing at night. Similarly, all the time of lewd activity, drugs, the wrongs that take place, then people find the night to be more conducive for all these type of wrong activities. When we say Rabbul Falaq, the Rabb of the dawn, the Rabb of daybreak, as though we are symbolizing and we are creating hope after that spell of darkness that was covered, that covered mankind. Now we see the rays of hope, we see light, and we have that hope. So this hope, the creator of the hope is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more we hope in Him, and the more we find solutions to our problems. And if we divert and shift that hope from Allah ta'ala to people, then it is problems upon problems. One problem is not yet finished, and the next one starts off, and the next one doesn't end up, and the third one starts off. So the Rabbul Falaq, the Rabb of the dawn, the Rabb of the break, daybreak, the Rabb of all the hopes that we can think of, and He is the solution to all our hopes. He is the answer to all our hopes. Rabbil Falaq min sharri ma khalaq, from the mischief of all the creation, and the mischief of darkness when it spreads out, and the mischief of those who blow in knots practicing magic or practicing secret arts, and the mischief of the one that is jealous when he becomes jealous and envious. So this surah is more for the physical self, for material aspects. We ask and beg the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the second aspect that we need to take protection and ask Allah Ta'ala's protection and help is our spiritual self, inner selves, and our deeni matters. So when we see both the surahs, the second surah has the word Rabb repeated three times. Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas, Ilahin Nas. Three attributes of Allah Ta'ala have been used here. The Rabb of mankind, the King and the Sovereign of mankind, Ilahin Nas, and the God of mankind. So three sifat and attributes have been used here. And in the first surah, when it is related to material things, then it is just one sifat of Allah Ta'ala, one attribute of Allah Ta'ala that has been used. The reason is obvious that in قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, we are asking refuge and protection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for inner selves and our spiritual selves, our deeni selves. And the deeni protection, our spiritual protection, is far more important than just our physical selves. Because as for the physical self, we are guided and we are instructed that when someone is harming you physically, materially, be patient, forgive the person, overlook his faults, try and repulse the evil with good, conceal the person's problem. So all this is the guidance of the Quran and the Hadith, that we are patient, we tolerate the person, we try and return the wrong with kindness and with good. And even in the process, even if you are hurt, then too, it is just a physical problem, a material problem. For the patience that we go through, we're going to get sawab for it. And in the process, even if you are killed, someone has robbed or cheated, or for no justifiable reason he has killed you, then too you have died as a shaheed. But if you are defeated spiritually, your deen, you are defeated in your deen, and you collapse, and you are demolished in your deen, then this is eternal disaster. So, to cover yourself and guard yourself from that eternal disaster, you are asking Allah Ta'ala's refuge with three of His sifat, three of His attributes, the Rabbun Nas, Malikun Nas, and Ilahun Nas. The Rabb of mankind, the King and the Sovereign of mankind, and the God of mankind. Man normally goes through five phases in his life, or say three phases in his life, and therefore three attributes have been used. So the first phase that man goes through is from infancy to adulthood. That's the first phase that he goes through. In this phase, then he looks upon the person that provides for him and takes care for him. He says he has all the respect for his parents or his tutors and the people that give him the guidance, give him the necessary support and the strength and empower him. So his focus is just on the person that empowers him, gives him the basic support and the strength for him to carry on and continue. So he loves the person, he cherishes the person, and he has got a lot of regards for him. So Allah Ta'ala diverts our attention, then Rabbun Nas. And if you are looking at your parents as the ones that are providing, taking care of you, then consider that Allah Ta'ala is the Rabb of mankind. He is the creator, the Rabb, not of only yourself, but your father and your grandfather and man immemorial. From the beginning of mankind, then he is the Rabb. Then when he's come to his adulthood, then he doesn't show that type of regards and the type of need to his parents, because he feels he's well developed, he's strong, he can stand on his feet, he can manage his affairs. So he doesn't see the need of a tutor, he doesn't see the need of an adult, he doesn't see the need of his parents any longer, because now he's a man of strength, intelligence, profession, wealth. So I don't need these people any longer. So Allah Ta'ala reminds you, and then at this second level, consider Malikin Nas, the King and the Sovereign of mankind. If you think you're strong enough, then understand that the King, the Sovereign, the government is much more stronger than you. Think of the strong hand, strong arm of the law, and the implications that you can bring upon yourself. If you defy and you break any of the law, what can be the consequence? So when he's reached this age, this is the thing that he identifies, this is the thing that he recognizes, he's concerned about breaking and defying the law, what could be the consequence that he would have to go through. So again, Allah Ta'ala relates to us in the language that we understand and we see ourselves, Malikin Nas, after your adulthood. Now think, if you think you are strong and powerful and mighty, then there is a king, there is a sovereign, that you have to relent, you have to accept, you have to go by him Otherwise, you put yourself into difficulties and problems. Then, when he's past this phase, he's understood that there is a sovereign, there is a king, but he feels, well, I can do some underhand work. I don't have to be honest to the Tsars. I can do some uplang. I can have my own things going on. I can do some cheating and robbing, and I will not be caught out. So mankind is reminded now, in the third phase of your life, Ilahin Nas, God of mankind. He knows everything that is subtle and discreet. Nothing escapes him, nothing is concealed from him. Ilahin Nas, he is the Ilah, he is the God of mankind. If you think you have some control, consider the fact that Allah Ta'ala has absolute and supreme control. You can see now, after you have passed your middle age, now there is a decline in you. Now sicknesses begin to come in, and you cannot rid yourself from the sicknesses. Sometimes it is a chronic problem, cancer, heart problems, and then sugar, and all the type of complications that you go through thereafter. And you see yourself helpless, you cannot manage yourself, you can't protect yourself. So remember now, at this part of your life, the third, last phase of your life, that if you feel you are powerful, then your power ceases to function at a certain point. Then you see that there is someone, there is a sovereign, there is a power, there is a control that's above you. And you cannot escape that control no matter what you do. You're seeing deaths before you, you're seeing disaster before you, you're seeing people rising and falling before you, and then you understand there is someone that's above the law as well, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the third phase that you go through. Therefore, you ask Allah Ta'ala's protection through these attributes. First is when you are a youngster, and when you have become a little bit mature, intellectually as well, then you ask the protection of a malik, a sovereign and king. And then when you are fully matured and you've seen life and you have experienced things firsthand, then you recognize that there is a God that is supreme control. Min sharril waswasil khannas. Then you are asking protection against what? Against waswas, that is shaitan, the one that whispers and withdraws after the whisper. He whispers evil thoughts. When we study and analyze man, then his entire body becomes activated just through one thought. The thought may be a good thought, it may be an evil thought, and that activates you. Good thought comes to your mind, and you make wuzu, you get onto the musalla, you beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you beseech His help. And an evil thought gets into your mind, and then the darkest deeds that you can ever think of, in fact, beyond imagination, you get involved in. So this is a result of that whisper, that evil thought that was inserted, instilled into your mind. And this is the work of waswas, that is shaitan. He instills and whispers those thoughts within your mind. Then your whole body becomes activated. So you get back to the root and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection and His assistance against the mischief of shaitan, who would whisper evil thoughts into your mind and thereafter withdraw as though nothing had happened. The hadith says that there are two apartments in a man's heart. In one apartment is an angel, is the malaika, and the second apartment is the shaitan. When a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan withdraws, goes behind, goes away. When he becomes negligent of Allah ta'ala and mindful of Allah ta'ala, the shaitan pushes his snout, he pierces his snout into you and misleads you thereafter with all the type of evil thoughts and whispers. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ, the one that whispers into the hearts of mankind. So this whispering, the one that is whispering, his message is in the mind, though you do not see him. You cannot see the person, but you can feel the effects of the whisper. You can understand that you are going just normal, absolutely clear, and then these whispers and these evil suggestions came to your mind, and thereafter you responded to this, and you went and did very strange and unspeakable things. So where did this start off from? It was started off with this whisper, الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. So this is a result of that waswasa. And this evil thoughts that are instilled into your minds is sometimes the work of a jinnat, sometimes the work of a man. So don't think that these whispers are only from the shaitan. It can be the whispers of men as well. Evil men and evil jinnat. زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا As the Quran Sharif says, that they instill and they convey evil messages, but it is done in such flowery language that any person becomes a victim to this deception. Because it's given to you, presented to you in such a beautiful manner, with such flowery talks and discussion, a WhatsApp is going through, an SMS is going through, and you are watching, you are viewing the whole thing, and you don't know, don't even realize that your mind is being shaped, your mind is being distorted, your mind is going into evil, you don't have the clarity of the heart, you begin to entertain malice within your mind for that person, no basis. Someone just sent that message viral, it was some jinnat or some shaitan, but obviously it is zukhrufal qawli ghurura, a flowery talk, and by way of deception he has captured your heart, captured your mind, just now he was your friend, in a moment he is your enemy. How this started off, shaitan brought about these type of messages, WhatsApp and whatever else that you see, all the technology and the type of technology that we see, the social media that we see, and then we see the end of that. And every person thinks, no, I am intelligent enough, I can guard myself, I will not become a victim to these things here. But before he knows it, whether it's a good person, whether it's a bad person, he becomes a victim, he's seeing something what he's not supposed to be seeing, he's reading up a message that he doesn't need to know about, and then his faith is shaken up. He doesn't have that confidence, the trust in Allah Ta'ala, that love for his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, respect for his law, everything is smashed down just because of this lousy, miserable technology that is before you. So this is now the invention of shaitan and how he misleads you. No person can say, no person can claim that he is free of it. Even you are in the process of looking for something good and some wrong pops up. And then the next moment when that thing pops out, and your eyes pops out, and you are watching that. Before you realize it, you are the victim of shaitan. Therefore, the importance of these two surahs, Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, says, Nabi Sam explained to him once, but I show you something, some verses that were not, the like of it is not even the Torah, the Injil, the Zabur, and the Quran Sharif. And then he recited these two surahs. And then he explained that these surahs must be recited after every namaz. Also, they should be recited when going to sleep and when getting up in the morning. And in some hadith, it's also explained that Nabi Sam is to recite these three surahs, Qul Huwallah, and these last two surahs before he would retire to sleep, reciting this and thereafter blowing on his Mubarak palms and applying it to the entire body. So this was the practice of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the importance of these three surahs, Qul Huwallah, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, and Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Nas. And Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu says that one that recites these three surahs and then he sleeps, or he recites these three surahs, then these three surahs will be sufficient for him. They're so dynamic and so powerful that reciting these three surahs is so much, there's so much of protection and so much of fulfillment. Again, we look at this two surahs, we asking Allah Ta'ala's protection against shaitan, against the practices of evil, against the mischief of the creation, but we asking Allah Ta'ala's refuge mainly against shaitan. Then for his defiance and his denial, that denial and defiance becomes a curse for him. But for mankind, for the righteous, this becomes a blessing. For shaitan himself, it is a disaster, it is a curse. For the righteous, it is a blessing. Because the righteous now, he will begin to understand that there is an enemy, and he has become the enemy of Allah Ta'ala because of his defiance, because of his pride. So if I want to go right, then I need to take a lesson from this fool, that I mustn't defy, and I mustn't be proud in anything that I'm doing. Because this was the road to the destruction of shaitan. He defied and he became arrogant. So I need to be submissive and humble. If I want to progress, then I need to be submissive. I need to be humble at every step of my life. And the moment I'm going to move away from the path of submission and humility, then this is opening my way to destruction. The second lesson that he will learn from Shaitan, you will understand in the whole process, is that the more he goes through these type of whispers and all that, then the more he will take the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more he will put up his resistance, the more he'll put up a struggle. So with the struggle that he's going through, and this is called mujahada, he is whispering and you are consistent, you are resisting. So for the struggle, for that resistance and the struggle that you are going through, then the doors of hidayat are opening for you. You are putting up your resistance, you are struggling against shaitan. So this is not going unchecked. You are getting rewarded all the way for all the mujahada, all the resistance that you are putting up with. Then, apart from this resistance of yours, then the third benefit is, and that is the greatest benefit, is then you will show to Allah Ta'ala through dua, "Oh Allah Ta'ala, I am nothing. You guard me against the whispers and the wrong, the temptation, the evil that this seductive person is seducing me towards. He is taking me away. Allah Ta'ala, I can't manage. I am showing Allah Ta'ala my weakness. I am showing him my helplessness, my hopelessness." The more you do this, the more you deserve the assistance and the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And overall, shaitan is weak. His conspiracies and plottings are weak. In kayda shaitani kana da'ifa, his plotting is weak. So the way that you will overcome him is three. One, as I explained, the remembrance of Allah ta'ala. As you remember, shaitan withdraws. Khannas is the one that withdraws. So he withdraws when someone is remembering Allah Ta'ala correctly. And you are asking Allah Ta'ala's help all the time. You are asking His protection, His help. Then what is better than that person that is turning to Allah Ta'ala with a heavy heart, with a heart of feeling that he is totally helpless and hopeless, with that feeling of desperation. أَمَّ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. Allah Ta'ala Himself says He is the one that listens to the person that is in total desperation. He feels that there is no hope for him in any creation. The only hope and the only solace, the only recourse and the only sanctuary is Allah Ta'ala Himself. So what a great blessing that you have received through this whole exercise of shaitan. But when you're looking at it positively, that righteous person turns the whole thing into a blessing for himself. Allah Ta'ala accept this, call upon Murad Ibrahim Sahib to make the dua.
اللهم صل على سيدنا حبيبك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربي فرحم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت العز أكرم. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من رحمتك إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما. ربنا إننا آمنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم إنا نتلقى في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم. اللهم نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ من غضبك والنار. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في من كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم حبب لنا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره لنا الكفر الفسوق والإسلام واجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم توفنا مسلمين وحقنا بالصالحين غير خزايا ولا مفتونين. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك. اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين واجعلنا من الطاهرين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاعة من كل داء. اللهم أغننا بالعلم وزينا بالحلم واكرمنا بالتقوى وجملنا بالعافية. اللهم إنا نعوذ من غير القلب الدين وغلب العدو وجرى الفتور. اللهم إنا نسألك تمام العافية ونسألك دوام العافية ونسألك الشكر العافية ونسألك الغنى عن الناس ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم سب گناہوں کو معاف فرما لیجئے, چھوٹے بڑے سب گناہ کو معاف فرما لیجئے, آئندہ گناہ سے ہماری پوری پوری ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجئے, رحمین نیکی کی توفیق عطا فرما لیجئے, ہر برائی سے ہماری پوری پوری ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجئے, ماحول کے برے اثرات سے بھی ہماری پوری پوری ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجئے, اور ہمیں نفس و شیطان کے شر و فتن سے بھی ہماری پوری پوری ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجئے, آمین. اخلاق رذیلہ سے بھی ہماری پوری پوری ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجئے, اخلاق حمیدہ اختیار کرنے کی اعلیٰ پوری پوری توفیق عطا فرما لیجئے, تمام بیماری سے اعلیٰ پوری پوری شفا عطا فرما لیجئے, بیماری چاہے جسمانی ہو چاہے روحانی ہو چاہے اخلاقی ہو, ہر قسم کی بیماری سے اعلیٰ پوری پوری شفا عطا فرما لیجئے, آئندہ بیماری سے ہماری پوری پوری ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجئے, رحمین نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم جہاں کہیں اس کی ایمان کی مال کی جان کی آبرو کی عزت کے اولاد کے متعلق ان سب کی اعلیٰ پوری پوری حفاظت فرما لیجئے, اور رحمین رحم کرم کا معاملہ فرما لیجئے, آپس میں اتفاق اتحاد محبت پیدا فرما لیجئے, حسن قصد سے حفاظت فرما لیجئے, ظالم و ظلم سے حفاظت فرما لیجئے, ہر قسم اختلاف انتشار بدعملی سے ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجئے, تمام بلیات و آفات و نظر بد سے بھی ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجئے, دشمنی کو دشمنی سے بدخواہی بدخواہی سے ہماری پوری پوری ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجئے, ہم سب کو عزت عافیت والی زندگی عطا فرما لیجئے, ذلت و رسوائی والی زندگی سے ہماری پوری پوری ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجئے, رحمین ہم سب کو حلال برکت والی روزی عطا فرما لیجئے, اور نیک عمل کرنے کی بھی اعلیٰ پوری پوری توفیق عطا فرما لیجئے, اور رحمین نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صحیح محبت اور عشق عطا فرما لیجئے, جب سنت کی بھی اعلیٰ پوری پوری توفیق عطا فرما لیجئے, جو پریشان حال ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما لیجئے, جو مخروط قرض ادا کرنے کی شکل صورت آسان پیدا فرما لیجئے, اور رحمین رحم کرم کا معاملہ فرما لیجئے, اور اپنے رضامندی والا اعمال اختیار کرنے کی توفیق ادا فرما لیجئے, اور ناراضی والا اعمال سے ہماری پوری پوری ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجئے, یقین کے بعد شک سے بھی ہماری پوری پوری ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجئے, امام نے پوری توفیق ادا فرما لیجئے, اطاعت والی زندگی کا اختیار کرنے کی اعلیٰ پوری پوری توفیق ادا فرما لیجئے, ایمان کے تقاضوں کو پورا کرنے کی بھی اعلیٰ پوری پوری توفیق ادا فرما لیجئے, رحمین قرآن شریف کا جو دس ختم ہوا اس کو خیر و برکت عطا فرما لیجئے, ہمارے زندگی میں قرآن کی توفیق عطا فرما لیجئے, ہمارے زندگی کو قرآن کے مطابق بنانے کی توفیق عطا فرما لیجئے, قرآن کے پیغام کو اپنا دست سنبھالنے کی توفیق عطا فرما لیجئے, اب رحمین رحم کرم کا معاملہ فرما لیجئے, ہمارے اخلاق کو بھی درست فرما لیجئے, ہمارے اعمال کو بھی درست فرما لیجئے, ہمارے عقائد کو بھی درست فرما لیجئے, گھروں کو ہمیں خیر خوبی عطا فرما لیجئے, خوشی عطا فرما لیجئے, محبت عطا فرما لیجئے, اور رحمین رحم کرم کا معاملہ فرما لیجئے, فضل کرم کا معاملہ فرما لیجئے, پھر نیک بندوں کو جو نعمت عطا فرما سب نعمت ہم سب کو عطا فرما لیجئے, رحمین جو مانگا گیا وہ بھی عطا فرما لیجئے, جو مانگ سے رہ گیا وہ بھی عطا فرما لیجئے, رحمین نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم تمام خیر جماغا وہ سب خیر ہم کو پوری امت کو عطا فرما لیجئے, اور نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم تمام شرور فتن جسے پناما کہ ہم کو پوری امت کو پناہ عطا فرما لیجئے, اپنے فضل کرم سے ہماری دعا بھر قبول فرما لیجئے, سبحان اللہ علی المرسلین الحمد للہ علی الرحمن الرحیم.